And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also visit and listen to the show online by visiting the website. That's nickcraig.com. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. We'll have more from them coming up a little bit later on this morning. Quick reminder, coming up tonight, 7 p.m., our Patreon monthly hangout will be taking place for those that are supporters of the show and support the show financially over on Patreon. That will be taking place 7 p.m. tonight. Check your email for the link there. I'll send out another reminder email a little bit later on today, but that is coming up 7 o'clock tonight. We've got a lot to talk about. Veto overrides, Governor Roy Cooper in the Senate race, a lot going on in North Carolina politics since we last got together in the month of June, and I look forward to chatting with everybody tonight, 7 o'clock. If you are wanting to get access to that, you can support the show and get access to bonus content, including daily show notes and our monthly hangout over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, it was an incredibly busy day in Raleigh yesterday. And I'll say, for somebody that has been following state politics for quite some time, yesterday was one of the busiest days that I can remember in Raleigh, in our state's capital, as it related to veto overrides. We talked about that yesterday morning, and well, Republicans delivered on what they said they were going to do, at least partially, as we watched it unfold early yesterday, keeping a track and up to date with everything on X. And before we get into the details, well, here's how the 8 veto overrides went down in the General Assembly.
Question for the House is the motion that House Bill 193 become law, notwithstanding the objections of the governor. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed vote no. The clerk will open the vote. We'll lock machine and record the vote. With 72 having voted in the affirmative and 48 in the negative, the motion carries. And having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto, and the bill is sent to the Senate. Question for the House is the motion that House Bill 318 become law, notwithstanding the objections of the governor. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 72 having voted in the affirmative and 48 in the negative. The motion carries. And having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto, and the bill is sent to the Senate by special message. The question before the House is the motion that House Bill 402 become law, notwithstanding the objections of the governor. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 73 having voted in the affirmative and 47 in the negative. The motion carries. Having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto. The bill is sent to the Senate by special message. Question before the House is the motion that House Bill 549 become law, notwithstanding the objections of the governor. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 72 having voted in the affirmative and 48 in the negative. The motion carries. Having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto. The bill is sent to the Senate by special message. Question before the House is the motion that House Bill 805 become law, notwithstanding the objections of the governor. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 72 having voted the affirmative and 48 in the negative. The motion carries. And having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto, and the bill is sent to the Senate by special message. The question before the House is the motion that Senate Bill 266 become law, notwithstanding the objections of the governor. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 74 having voted the affirmative and 46 in the negative. Having passed, the motion carries. Having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto. The bill becomes law, notwithstanding the governor's objections. The question before the House is the motion that Senate Bill 416 become law, notwithstanding the objections of the governor. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 74 having voted in the affirmative and 46 in the negative. The motion carries. Having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto. The bill becomes law, notwithstanding the governor's veto. The question for the House is the motion that Senate Bill 254 become law notwithstanding the objections of the governor. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will like machine and record the vote. 74 having voted the affirmative and 46 in the negative. The motion carries. Having passed by the requisite three-fifths vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto. The bill becomes law notwithstanding the governor's objections.
And it's a rough day to be a Democrat in the state of North Carolina as the Democrats' attempts, and in this case, it starts at the top with Governor Josh Stein to veto the vast majority of the legislation that has come out of the Republican-led General Assembly over the last couple of months. Well, as you heard there from Destin Hall over and over again, notwithstanding the veto from the governor, well, there you go. It's law. There's an interesting question coming in on our Facebook live chat this morning. Does anyone feel like the North Carolina Republican Party bills lean heavily toward culture war issues? And, you know, this is an interesting talking point that's being pushed by the left. It was also mentioned that same word, this idea, culture war, was also mentioned by Representative Laura Budd out of Mecklenburg County. No relation to U.S. Senator Ted Budd. Just happens to have the exact same last name. This is how the left tries to say that you shouldn't be able to govern. They will claim that everything and anything is culture wars. And so for Democrats that are talking about culture wars this morning, I'll ask you how Senate Bill 266, which is the Power Bill Reduction Act, which removes the state of North Carolina's interim 2030 carbon goal and saves state taxpayers and ratepayers upwards of $15 billion over the next 30 years. How is that culture war? I mean, what part of that is culture? It's not. It's a talking point that the left uses to try and claim that everything and anything that Republicans do meet the so-called culture war. The reality is very simple. Democrats are not in a position of power in North Carolina or even at the national level. They have been unsuccessful in convincing the North Carolina voting bloc, and I would argue the national voting bloc, that their ideas, their policies, their principles, and their priorities are the best for the country or the state moving forward. So there can be all of this pearl clutching and all of this gnawing at the teeth of, oh, well, it's culture war this and Republicans. The reality is you guys can't win elections. The reality is very simple. There is a reason that Republicans were able to override 8 vetoes yesterday. And the answer is very simple. Back in the election last November, Republican members of the North Carolina General Assembly outperformed Democrats in elections. Republicans have a veto-proof supermajority in the Senate. They are one vote short in the House. However, as it was described earlier this year, Republicans believe that they have a working supermajority, and that played out pretty well yesterday, with 8 bills that the governor vetoed being put into law, notwithstanding the governor's objections. And so I don't really care what Democrats think about culture war. It doesn't matter to me. You guys lost. Republicans and conservatives are in charge, and thank God that they are. Because you can go back 15 years and see what the state of North Carolina looked like under 100 years or after 100 years of Democrat control. The state was bankrupt. The state had the highest tax rates anywhere in the southeast half of the United States. Business did not want to move here. People did not want to move here. It was too damn expensive. Republicans took control of the General Assembly back in 2012. And since then, they have brought this state back into reality. They have lowered the personal tax rate, lowered the corporate income tax rate. They have made this state a friendly place to live and operate business. Case in point, CNBC ranking the state of North Carolina the number one state for business three out of the last 5 years. That doesn't happen by accident. That doesn't happen because Roy Cooper's in the governor's mansion. That happens because Republicans in the General Assembly made very strategic decisions as it related to governance. Republicans in the General Assembly determined that they had better ideas to move the state forward than Democrats. And voters not only agreed with that back in 2012, but have continued to agree with that every 2 years since then. There is a strong reason why Democrats have not been in the majority since that period of time. And it's because their ideas are no good. People wanted a change. People wanted something different. And that's exactly what they're getting. Notwithstanding the governor's objections, notwithstanding Democrats yelling and screaming and complaining about what's going on. And you've heard me make this point before, and I'll make it again. If you care so much about what's going on in governance and in government and, oh, these awful, terrible, evil Republicans are destroying the state, why don't you guys win? Why don't you put forth better candidates and better ideas that will resonate with North Carolina voters? I mean, this is not an unbelievable thing to deal with. You just have to put forth a better candidate, raise more money, and have better ideas than your opponent. It's not an impossible task. We don't live in a hardcore red state. Our largest voting block in North Carolina is unaffiliated voters. Those are individuals that do not closely align themselves, at least with their party registration, with one political party or another. These are individuals that can be swayed on issues. And so if you're a Democrat dismayed by what you saw in the General Assembly yesterday, which, by the way, Democrats have completely lost their minds over this. I've got a clip of it in a second. If you're so distraught by what happened, maybe, again, I'm giving free advice to the Democrats. I know probably shouldn't be doing that. But once again, run better candidates and have better ideas. We don't live in a hardcore red state. We're not Missouri or Arkansas or Alabama, these super red states. We are a very, very purple state in North Carolina. It is not impossible to win as a Democrat. Case in point, we have a Democrat governor. So if you care about what goes on in the General Assembly and you're a Democrat, maybe it's time to inward reflect, take a little glance, a little peek into the mirror and say, what are we doing that is not resonating with voting bases across the state of North Carolina? There's my free advice. Take it however you'd like. So instead of, doing that, instead of looking at the issues, looking at what can be done to secure victories for Democrats, this is how they acted in the General Assembly yesterday.
Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 72 having voted the affirmative and 48 in the negative. The motion carries, and having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overridden the governor's veto, and the bill is sent to the Senate by special message. Thank you for being with us.
So that's how Democrats act. Bills are getting overridden in the General Assembly, and some crazy, delusional leftist moron in the gallery of the General Assembly, this is in the House that where that clip comes from, is screaming, Trump is a rapist and Trump is a racist. You've heard conservatives, myself included, say before that Democrats have no messaging. Their only messaging is orange man bad. And folks on the left roll their eyes at that and say, that's not true. We do have ideas. That clip that I just played for you of this woman screaming at the top of her lungs that Donald Trump is a racist and a rapist proves exactly the point that those on the right make. None of the bills yesterday in the North Carolina General Assembly, I will remind you, had anything to do with Donald Trump. We were talking about, and we'll go through all of the veto overrides throughout the show. All of the legislation here in North Carolina was dealing with North Carolina government, was dealing with state law and regulation in our state, of which Donald Trump is not a sitting lawmaker. He is the president of the United States. He is not a member of the North Carolina General Assembly. He's not the governor. He's not the attorney general. He's not the lieutenant governor. And lo and behold, this deranged lunatic in the General Assembly chamber yesterday starts screaming about Donald Trump. Doesn't that exactly prove the point that the left has nothing else to go on? Doesn't it prove that their ideas are so terrible and awful that their solution to vetoes being overridden is not, maybe we need to course correct on some of these radical things we believe. We're just going to scream that Donald Trump is a racist and a rapist. Here it is one more time for you. This This woman short circuits in the General Assembly yesterday over a piece of legislation being overwritten.
Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 72 having voted the affirmative and 48 in the negative. The motion carries, and having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overrid the governor's veto, and the bill is sent to the Senate by special message.
I mean, it doesn't, does it get any better than that? Is that not the best example you've heard of the modern Democrat Party? So what she was screaming about was House Bill 805, which is called Preventing Sexual Exploitation of Women and Minors. And it defines biological sex in state law, which is, again, another issue that the Democrats are on the wrong side of history on. This is another politically 80-20 issue that Democrats are on the 20% of. They believe that gender is this fluid thing that's up in the air, and that at any point in time, you wake up one morning and you decide, oh, I'm a woman now, or I'm a man now. I can go compete in somebody else's sport. I can go into a women's bathroom because I woke up this morning and decided that I'm a man. Another 80-20 issue that they lose on. House Bill 805 defines sex in state law on biological attributes. It also bars K-12 schools from placing male and female students in the same sleeping quarters. Okay. It also prohibits state funds for gender transition procedures in correctional facilities and increases the statute of limitation on lawsuits for transition surgeries for 10 years. That's the legislation that this woman in the General Assembly was screaming about yesterday. So if you're a Democrat, what part of that do you disagree with? Presumably, you don't believe in the biological sex part of it. That's not something that you guys believe in. It's a losing political issue for you, yet you continue to run with it. You want public school systems to have men or male and female students on field trips in the same sleeping quarters? That does not sound like a good idea. That does not sound like that does not sound like something that is beneficial for the state or for a school system or anybody going forward. And so, again, knowing what the issues are, knowing what the legislation actually says, it's not a secret. I mean, you can literally go to the General Assembly website. It's only an 8-page bill. It's not super complicated. So now that you know what the legislation is and know what it does, once again, here is the reaction in the General Assembly yesterday.
Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 72 having voted the affirmative and 48 in the negative. The motion carries, and having passed by the requisite 3/5 vote, the House has overrid the governor's veto, and the bill is sent to the Senate by special message.
There you go. There you have it. That's the status in the state of the current Democrat Party. So House Bill 805 results in Trump is a rapist and a racist. And I'm wrong when I say that the Democrats have nothing else to say. I'm wrong when I say Democrats have nothing to run on. No solid ideas outside of Orange Man is bad. Donald Trump is bad. Thank you very much, crazy liberal lady in the North Carolina General Assembly gallery yesterday, for proving the point that conservatives have been making for years about the Democrat Party. I mean, this lady has a complete and total mental breakdown in the chamber. Again, nothing of what was discussed in the General Assembly yesterday has anything to do with the President of the United States. We are talking about state laws in the state capitol from state lawmakers elected in all 100 counties of North Carolina. It is completely divorced from the President of the United States. There is absolutely no connection there at all whatsoever. Yet, that's the reaction. That's the result. Pretty remarkable. So House Bill 805, overridden by the North Carolina General Assembly, House Bill 549 overridden as well. That clarifies powers of the state auditor. This is a pretty big bill. It would give the auditor broader access to state agency databases, digital records, facilities, and property. One Democrat voted in favor of that, and it was able to be overridden. House Bill 402, this is a pretty big one as well, formerly known as the RAINS Act, would require greater legislative scrutiny for rules that impose high financial costs on state businesses and residents. Three House Democrats voted in favor of the bill with an override of 73-47. And, you know, we talk a lot about the bureaucracy. We talk a lot about out-of-control government, at least we do here on the right. The way in which government is really, it's in its most malicious form, is with rules and regulations, not with laws, because laws have to go through a pretty stringent process, right? Whether you're talking about here in North Carolina or whether you're talking up in the United States, it has to be drafted in either the House or the Senate. Then they debate it, they change it, then they move it over to the other chamber. The other chamber, if they make changes, which almost every time they do, it then has to go back to the House or the originating chamber. All of that, then it has to be signed by the president. It's a pretty lengthy process to get something into law, whether you're talking about state government or federal government. And so the way in which the bureaucracy flourishes is through rules and regulations. Now, they're not by textbook definition laws because they are not coming out of the governing body, which is either the United States House and Senate or the North Carolina House and Senate. They're not coming out of either of the chambers and being signed by the president or governor, but they're coming out of government agencies. You see these burdensome rules and regulations that come out of agencies all over the place that have substantial impacts on places like North Carolina, that have substantial impacts on the way in which you live your everyday life. And so that's why the RAINS Act, also called Limit Rules for with Substantial Financial Costs, is a huge win for those that want to see the bureaucracy continue to crumble, for those that want to see the state government get the hell out of the way and allow people to operate their business, to live their lives, and to enjoy their time. That is not really possible when you've got the state government and all of these cabinet-level agencies, all of these bureaucrats that are hired, not elected, but hired to serve at DEQ and all of these other places that just make up rules and regulations. There's nothing you can do about it because it wasn't voted on. It's something that is just willed into existence by a state agency. And so with the RAINS Act, House Bill 402, which was overridden by both chambers yesterday, that is no longer the case. If a state agency wants to put forth a regulation that has any substantial financial impact, I believe it's $1 million financial impact over a 12-month period of time, which is really not that much money when you think about it. So any rule, any regulation that would have a $1 million impact over a 12-month period of time, that now has to go in front of the General Assembly for its approval. That has to go in front of elected lawmakers from the mountains to the coast, from Virginia to South Carolina. It will be lawmakers in Raleigh that get the final say as to whether this regulation goes into place. And fortunately, this is something that is not exclusively unique to North Carolina. The RAINS Act is a national movement that has been pushed up pretty heavily by specifically Americans for Prosperity has been pushing this. And at this point in time, you've got over 20 states that have moved forward with a equivalent version of the RAINS Act, R-E-I-N-S, which is reigning in government. This bill does not probably get a huge amount of play. This is a piece of legislation that is probably more in the weeds for the vast majority of individuals. But when you look at things that actually impact your life, that's where it's done. When you're told you can't go out and fish, it's because some bureaucrat in Raleigh wrote some rule up and enacted it themselves, and the agency enacted it themselves with no oversight. And the only way around it is to have the General Assembly come back together and pass a piece of legislation that restricts or allows something. It's a completely unsustainable situation. So right now you've got Florida, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Minnesota, Oklahoma, Utah, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and other states that currently have a similar version of the RAINS Act on the books. Other states as well have similar provisions or things that are close in nature to this. And so as you've got this now piece of legislation that is now law, it is now not going to be possible for the North Carolina bureaucracy that exists to just do whatever the hell they want. And if they want to pass some regulation, pass some rule that's going to have an impact on North Carolina families and businesses, it's going to be the General Assembly that has to give it its final seal of approval. No longer is it just, oh, hey, I'm a bureaucrat in some entity across the state. I can write whatever rule and regulation I want and move forward with it. Those days are over. It's a substantial victory and substantial win for North Carolina. A couple of other pieces of legislation that were also dealt with yesterday. Some changes to the charter school system. We know that that's been a big statewide discussion, particularly as school choice continues to be a big deal. Senate Bill 254 was overridden by both chambers. It expands charter school authority by empowering the Charter School Review Board. The Board of Education criticized the move and called it unconstitutional. However, regardless, again, what Democrats think or feel about it, Republicans have the majorities, and it in fact gained multiple Democrat votes in the North Carolina House, and it passed 74 to 46. One of the other big pieces of legislation, House Bill 193, that's a firearms law revision that was overridden by the GA. This specifically deals with private schools and church schools that are not in a financial position to hire private security. We know that schools, unfortunately, are sitting duck targets for deranged, mentally ill, very, very screwed up individuals that want to affect a great amount of chaos and harm on individuals. It is an unfortunate reality of our society. And while public schools have access to SROs, school resource officers, which are normally funded by either your local sheriff's department or your city or municipality police department, private and charter schools do not always have that ability. And most of the time, it's not something that is economically feasible or practical for them. So this piece of legislation allows certain employees at non-public schools to carry concealed weapons on educational property when they are authorized by the school board of trustees or school administrative directors. So they have to, the school itself, a charter school would have a board of individuals similar to a board of education. They would have to approve an individual who, of course, legally possesses and owns a firearm to carry concealed at that property. And one of the points that was brought up by Republican lawmakers was that in many of these areas, in many areas across the state, you have a lot of church schools that exist. And those church schools, they can be out literally in the middle of nowhere. And so the idea that, you know, yes, you have obviously access to calling 911, you have the ability to call law enforcement. Some of these schools are very remote. As you get into rural North Carolina and you've got these small community, in many cases, schools that operate out of a church because it is a facility and building that is suitable and capable of housing students and having some sort of classroom environment, it is completely impractical to call law enforcement and wait 15, 25, 30 minutes for them to show up. And in some of, you know, you look out in areas out in Western North Carolina that are incredibly rural, that's a real situation. That's a real possibility. and the General Assembly overrode that, and that will now go into effect. But that was not before Representative Laura Budd, once again, the Democrat out of Mecklenburg County, made a real idiot of herself by making this comment on the floor of the General Assembly.
And stop thinking that somehow owning a gun and possessing a gun is a God-given right from the U.S. Constitution or the North Carolina Constitution. It's not. It is not a God-given right.
Lady will suspend momentarily.
Well, so the God-given right that we have, the ability to bear arms, which is laid out in the United States Constitution. Now, she is right. It's not a right that is given by the Constitution, but it is a right that is protected by the Constitution. What a ridiculously stupid comment to make. And of course, same, you know, when Republicans bring up the fact that Democrats want to strip away your guns and don't believe that you should be allowed to own them, there's your clip. Just a completely moronic statement. A completely ridiculous statement to make. But, you know, again, Democrat from Mecklenburg County, unfortunately, not super surprised there. So that's what she thinks about your Second Amendment rights. You don't actually have them. You shouldn't actually have them. We'll get into some more of these veto overrides coming up here in just a few minutes. But before that, I do want to tell you about the law group here in Wilmington and thank them for their continued support. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the law group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved promptly. Great news, folks. They are located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088. Or visit their website online at lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. So as we have been talking about this morning, in the North Carolina Senate, Republicans have that three-fifths veto-proof majority that they are able to move forward with. If every Republican votes in favor of a veto override, then it goes forward. However, in the North Carolina House, they are one vote short, meaning that Democrats have to cross the aisle. One of those Democrats did cross the aisle yesterday. Her name is Clara Cunningham. She's also out of Mecklenburg County. She torched her colleagues over an immigration bill yesterday. We'll get to those interesting details and her thoughts coming up here in just a few minutes. As the Nick Craig Show rolls on, streaming live this Wednesday morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. It is great to have you alongside on this busy Wednesday edition as we recap what was a busy day in Raleigh yesterday as lawmakers made their way back to Raleigh after a couple-week break and recess around the July the 4th holiday. They had really one set of goals yesterday. That was dealing with 14 veto overrides. They were successful in 8. The other 6 have not yet received votes. I will note that they are on the calendar today. It's not immediately clear to me whether they're set to be taken up. They're stuck in the House where Republicans are one vote shy of that veto-proof supermajority. So they are in the calendar. I would suspect they're not getting votes today. I guess there's always the possibility of it. But that seems, at this point in time, pretty unlikely just based on the math and what I understand about what's going on in the General Assembly with vote tallies and things, talking to my sources inside the GA. So with all of the 8 overrides yesterday, Republicans needed at least one Democrat to cross the aisle and vote in favor of one of the pieces of legislation. And one of those pieces of legislation was House Bill 318. It's called the Criminal Illegal Alien Enforcement Act. It was overridden yesterday. It is now law. And it tightens the timeline on law mandating that law enforcement alert ICE before an illegal alien criminal suspect is scheduled to be released. This is one of two bills that the House Republican caucus has been heavily focused on, and it is now officially law. And so with a piece of legislation like this, you might ask yourself, well, how does something like this become law? And it's because a Democrat, one Democrat in particular, Carla Cunningham out of Mecklenburg County, not only voted in favor of the override, but spoke her mind very clearly against her Democrat colleagues on the floor yesterday. I try not to play extensively long clips on this show. I mean, there's no reason for you to watch a show that's just, you know, 15-minute clips. I've got a 6.5-minute clip here of Representative Cunningham, which I think is incredibly eye-opening. And it's eye-opening for multiple reasons. The statements she makes, I think, are absolutely spot on. But she is shouted at by Democrats in the gallery. And here locally, Democrat Representative Deb Butler, who represents House District 18 in southeastern North Carolina, attempted to shut her down in the middle of her speech. Take a listen to this, these words from, again, a Democrat representative out of Mecklenburg County speaking in favor of House Bill 318, the Criminal Illegal Alien Enforcement Act.
Today is a new day. But I'd like to take a moment to reintroduce myself to each of you. I am ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves. I am a Black American, and I am an American. I'm going to present my case in support of House Bill 318, as it is time for my unapologetic truth to be shared with all of you. First, as a people, we need to recognize that it's not just the numbers that matter, but also where the immigrants come from and the culture they bring with them to another country. As the social scientists report, all cultures are not equal. Some immigrants come and believe they can function in isolation, refusing to adapt. They have come to our country for many reasons, but I suggest they must assimilate, adapt to the culture of the country they wish to live in. No country is going to allow people to come in and not acknowledge its constitution, legal systems, and laws. They will not tolerate it. So do you think I can go to another country and set up my own rules to live by, use the language I choose, and then tell that country that you must speak my language? That's not going to happen. Nor should it.
Right off the bat there, I mean, incredibly strong comments from Representative Cunningham. And she's saying what I think the vast majority of Americans feel, regardless of political party, regardless of political ideology. This notion, this idea, this concept with immigration in the United States, that you can come from wherever the hell you want, and the United States is supposed to mold itself around you, not the other way around, but you coming to the country as an immigrant, everything should change to revolve around you, is completely the wrong approach and completely the wrong strategy. Yet this is something that Democrats believe, many Democrats strongly believe should be the case. If you're a immigrant coming from who knows where, the United States should change everything that we do. We should change our culture to revolve around you. Representative Cunningham completely blowing that narrative out of the water.
As a country, the United States has been more tolerant than most other countries. Other countries are making it much more difficult to get citizenship. We have been naive. We have been exploited and abused by the different tactics to gain citizenship in America.
Wow.
It's time to wake up. Global migration in the past was not projected to be as it is today. We must establish new rules to address a distinct type of migration that we are facing in our country, state, and cities. It's time to turn the conveyor belt off and adopt a global migration suitable for the times that we're in. And that is not destabilizing our communities. A large number of people entering a country can change it forever. In conclusion, let me share with you all what happens when a woman lawmaker like myself choose to move differently. Yes, I was degraded for my vote. Yes, I was called racist for my vote. And yes, I was said I was trash. However, I figured it out. They want me to stop elevating my ancestors' history. They want me to be silent in my country. They want me to line up behind their priorities while my people and communities continue to struggle in our country. Mr. Speaker.
Lady will suspend momentarily. Members, it's not a kindergarten class. I look up and I see full-grown adults, many of you senior citizens, and you're clearly trying to make noise like a young child might when they're having to sit in a classroom and listen. So please, you're not doing anything by making these noises. And the sergeant-at-arms sees the lady who just was making the noise. The sergeant-at-arms has the chair's direction to go ahead and remove the lady. Again, folks, please, we're allowing folks on both sides of this issue to speak. If you want to come down here and debate, go run for public office. Thank you. Lady continues to have the floor.
Before she continues in her commentary, this is unfortunate, and I say unfortunately because I mean it. This is an unfortunate circumstance and situation that Democrats in North Carolina have been dealing with over the last couple of years. God forbid they speak out on an issue. And she highlights the things that have happened to her. She's had people call her racist, which is, of course, the go-to issue that the left goes with and runs with. You speak against the Democrats, you have a different opinion than the Democrats, you're a racist. I mean, it's just, they throw it around like free candy. I mean, it means absolutely nothing at this point. Threats against her for fighting for her communities. Talking about the issues and the strain that mass illegal immigration and mass, what you even call legal immigration, can have on a community. So she brings this up. Again, she is a Democrat from Mecklenburg County, which for those that are new to the state, Mecklenburg County hosts the city of Charlotte. A Democrat from Charlotte speaking up against this, speaking in favor, I should say, of this veto override. And as Destin Hall, the House Speaker, points out, you've got a bunch of old white liberals sitting in the gallery of the General Assembly that are attempting to shut her down. And you know the typical class. You look at any of these protests, you can close your eyes and see the kind of people that go to these events. It is a bunch of 60-plus-year-old white people that show up that are bleeding-heart liberals that believe that they're changing the world by standing on the side of the street with a sign that says, Elon Musk should be deported. Donald Trump is a racist. It's the same usual suspects that are cutting off her commentary as a Democrat speaking out in the General Assembly. And folks, it goes to a broader issue that the Democrat Party is facing right now. It is the inability for there to be any discussion of substantive issues. It's this sheep cult-like mentality that exists on the left. You have to sing off of the same sheet of music. You're not allowed to dissent on anything. You're not allowed to have an opinion. You're not allowed to have a different viewpoint. None of that is allowed. You've got to step in line and go right along with whatever the Democrat Party issue is. This is what is forcing people away from the Democrat Party. It is the reaction that Representative Cunningham got when she originally voted for this legislation back about 2 months ago that causes people to wake up and say, what the hell am I doing with the Democrat Party? Why am I continuing to work and caucus with these individuals when they don't allow me to express my opinion? And of course, the irony in all of this is the same people that were sitting in the gallery of the General Assembly yesterday trying to stop a Democrat member from speaking are the same ones that will claim that Republicans and Trump is they're a cult. They are the same ones that will claim that every single conservative, every single Republican walks by the same beat as it relates to Donald Trump. Yet when a Democrat speaks out, they stage a coughing fit in the gallery, which is what they were doing. In unison, a whole bunch of Democrats started coughing uncontrollably. A bunch of, as Destin Hall notes, a bunch of 60-plus-year-old white people in the gallery coughing because Carla Cunningham is saying something that they disagree with politically. These people are shameless.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I was saying, they want me to line up behind their priorities while my people and communities continue to struggle in our country. Is this not your country? This is my country. With the good and the not so good, this is my country, tears of thee. Now, if you want to adapt to my country, not isolate yourself, and come here legally, I welcome you. But today, I am telling you, I am not going to be silenced by those who disagree with my ideology on the issue at hand. Because the blood of my ancestors.
Mr. Speaker.
1 second, Representative Cunningham. For what purpose is the lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler?
I feel like we're getting into personal territory and maligning the character of the members of this body.
I think the lady is speaking to the personal attacks that she received from folks outside of this body, unless I misheard what she said. And the lady is correct that it's not appropriate to talk about personal attacks of members of the body. Again, I understand her to be saying some personal things that she received from outside.
Well, Mr. Speaker, in that case, I would move the previous question.
Okay. Lady's not recognized for motion. Representative Cunningham.
So there's Deb Butler, another Democrat, our great Democrat representative in New Hanover County, who hasn't done jack shit in the General Assembly because she's always on the wrong side of every issue. So there's Deb Butler trying to cut off a fellow Democrat from speaking out. Carla Cunningham, the points that she's bringing up are unfolding in front of your very eyes. The ability for her to speak, the ability for her to have a different opinion, and what she's saying is very clear. She talks about being a member of ADOS, A-D-O-S, the African Descendants of Slaves, and talks about how she's dealing with issues in her community in Mecklenburg County, the district that she represents. Her community is being left behind, and everybody's having to push and bend their will for illegal immigrants. That viewpoint is not allowed on the left. So not only do you have a bunch of progressive bleeding heart liberals in the gallery that are coughing and trying to cut her off, then you've got Democrat progressive, useless Democrat member Deb Butler saying, well, I just called the question because she's personally attacking the chamber. She didn't mention any lawmakers at all. But again, Democrats don't like opposing viewpoints, especially when it comes from their own party, especially when somebody has a different point of view within their own party.
This body, unless I misheard what she said, and the lady is correct that it's not appropriate to talk about personal attacks of members of the body. Again, I understand her to be saying some personal things that she received from outside.
Well, Mr. Speaker, in that case, I would move the previous question.
Lady's not recognized for motion. Representative Cunningham, lady continues to have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. See, it was my ancestors who came over as slaves, built this country with a strain on their backs. They sweat pouring from their bodies in the rice fields, the cotton fields, and the tobacco farms for this country. Lived as servants and was the footstool, I said the footstool, for far too many feet to step on. So today, if you ask me to line up behind another group of people to raise awareness about their plight, I unapologetically say no. Mr. Speaker and colleagues, please accept my remarks. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Now, let me say this. Some very strong commentary there from Carla Cunningham. Again, Democrat out of Mecklenburg County. Let me be clear with this. Carla Cunningham is a, her voting record and her track record as a lawmaker, she is a progressive Democrat. She is in Mecklenburg County. And that's fine. I don't have an issue with people being Democrats. I don't have an issue with them being progressives. You're allowed to do whatever the hell you want. It's a free country, at least still while we've got it. So her voting record is very clear. She's on the left side of the political aisle. But the fact that she has to go through this and has to deal with Deb Butler, again, who's just a completely useless member of the General Assembly, literally has no accomplishments to put on her belt because she doesn't do anything. She's the quintessential definition of a do-nothing Democrat. She provides no useful legislation. She provides no useful ideas. And all she does is vote no on everything in the House because she's on the wrong side of history on everything she believes. She has to deal with Deb Butler trying to cut her off. She has to deal with a bunch of 60-plus-year-old white people in the gallery coughing and trying to distract her from giving her commentary because she has a different point of view. And folks, I'll remind you that this is the alleged party of inclusion. This is the alleged party of everybody should be allowed to do whatever they want, and we need to DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and everybody needs to be recognized, and everybody needs to be welcomed for the things that they think and believe. That's the Democrat Party. That's the Democrat mantra. Inclusion. Yet, Representative Cunningham disagrees, has a different point of view on a political issue with her Democrat colleagues, and what's the result? Sit down and shut up. Shut your mouth and stop talking about this. Why have we seen, and by the way, there is probably a 0% chance that Carla Cunningham switches from Democrat to Republican. She is in a strong Democrat district in northern Mecklenburg County. She's not going to switch parties. But the fact that she has the audacity, and I say that tongue in cheek, but she has the audacity to speak up against her party and deal with this nonsense proves exactly what's wrong with the Democrat Party. It proves exactly why somebody like Trisha Cotham, who back 2 years ago switched her party affiliation from Democrat to Republican because of the threats, because of the vitriol, because of the hatred that came from her own party when she had the courage to speak out over school choice. When she had the courage to say, I don't agree with my fellow colleagues on this issue. The end result is not saying, well, we of course still welcome you in. The result is not, well, we're an inclusive group, so we allow dissenting and different viewpoints. The response from the left is, sit down and shut up. Get in line. That's the party of diversity. That's the party of equity. That's the party of inclusion. Your Democrat Party, the DEI folk, are the ones that don't want Carla Cunningham to be able to express her opinion, express her viewpoint, and discuss something that she personally has a lot of invested in, that she personally has some differing viewpoints and thoughts on. So just another reminder that any time you hear the discussion from the left about, oh, we need to be welcoming, we need to be welcoming and open arms to everybody, and we're this great big tent Democrat party, and we just love everybody. It's complete and total BS. The Democrats like you. The Democrats want you when you toe the line. When you say everything that they want you to say, they're in great favor of that. But God forbid you have a difference of opinion. God forbid you speak up and say, I don't agree with that. I would go about that a different way. I have a different viewpoint. I have a different stance. Then you're a racist, which of course is pretty ironic as Representative Carla Cunningham describes herself and says that she's a member of African descendants of slaves. Pretty rich, but that's where the left goes, right? They don't have anything else. The same thing you heard earlier of that crazy woman screaming from the gallery, Trump's a racist. I mean, it's all they've got. Their ideas are so piss poor. Their ideas are so unpopular with people that it's the only thing that they've got. Oh, you disagree on something? You're a racist. You're a bigot. You're a misogynist. You're a xenophobe. You're a thisophobe. I mean, it just goes, the list goes on and on. They've been doing it for a decade. It's the literal definition of the boy who cried wolf. When you run around screaming that everybody's a racist, it no longer means anything. It no longer holds any power. It no longer holds any weight. And this is exactly what the Democrat Party has done. It's why they continue to isolate people within their own party. It's why you see people in droves leaving the Democrat Party. Now, that doesn't mean that they still don't vote for Democrats. That doesn't mean that they still don't have a progressive lean. Carla Cunningham is a progressive, but she's also an independent thinker. She also has the ability to say, yeah, I think this is stupid. I'm going to vote against it. I'm going to speak against it. And then you see how she's treated, and it really shines a light onto the Democrat Party. It really shines a light onto the sham and the fraud that they try and portray themselves as. But in reality, it's nothing like that. Again, party of inclusion, party of everybody's allowed here and oh, everything's all hunky-dory. God forbid you speak out. God forbid you have a different political opinion. It's really shameful. And I saw a thread on the North Carolina subreddit last night. I'm not going to go through the comments. Many of them are pretty vitriolic in nature. But it was the same thing there. Talking about how now she needs to get out of office. But this is a strong Democrat vote for the left. She votes with the Democrats, I'll say, probably 90%+ of the time. She is a strong, solid Democrat vote. And because she disagreed with them on one issue, she needs to be run out of the party. That is why Trisha Cotham left the party. That is not going to happen with Representative Carla Cunningham. At least it doesn't seem like that's the case as of right now. It's a real shame to watch. So the next time you have to listen to some idiot moron leftist lecture you about being welcoming and being inclusive and all this other nonsense that they yell and scream and claim they care so much about, remember what Carla Cunningham just went through yesterday in that 6.5-minute clip. Remember what Trisha Cotham went through when she was voting against Democrats on school choice and was harassed by a woman inside of a Target with her two sons with her. Just remember those stories next time you have to burden and listen and have to be spoken down to by some liberal over how you need to be more inclusive. We're the party of inclusivity. We're the party of welcoming everybody. Just remember that next time that comes forward. So there's your Nick Craig Show PSA of the day. So in rounding out our show this morning, as I mentioned, 8 vetoes overridden yesterday, 6 have not, and those 6 are the following. Senate Bill 50, that's freedom to carry NC. That's a constitutional carry bill. It was overridden in the North Carolina Senate. It did not receive a vote in the House. House Bill 171, equality in state agencies, prohibiting diversity, equity, and inclusion. No vote in the House on that either. 2 DEI bills dealing with public education and K-12, and then higher ed, that would be UNC and the community college system, as well as 2 immigration bills as well. This link is over on my X account, at Nicholas M. Craig. Now, looking at the House calendar for this morning, as I pull this over, you can see that the North Carolina House is scheduled to gavel in at 10:30 this morning. There are 4 bills that are on there for consideration. It's not immediately clear to me this morning whether any of those are going to be taken up. There is one piece of legislation, a mini budget. I think it's House Bill 150 that is probably going to be dealt with. But the fact that these vetoes did not get, there was no vote on them, they're just on the calendar, means that there is the possibility later on, there is the possibility to come back in the following weeks, in the following months, and deal with these veto overrides. So an incredibly busy day in Raleigh yesterday. Democrats really showing their ass. No huge surprise there, but just really making themselves look like complete and total fools. And that's where we stand this morning. Again, I'll encourage you. I was tweeting and posting on X a play-by-play of everything yesterday. Give me a follow over there if you're a user of X, at Nicholas M. Craig. A lot of commentary, a lot of thoughts, and a lot of information on what was going on in the General Assembly. I'll do a similar thing today if they take up these bills and start voting on them. So that is the latest that we are tracking. Reminder, once again, coming up tonight at 7 p.m., the Nick Craig Show monthly Zoom hangout. Get together for an hour or so, talk about the news and issues of the day. A lot, of course, going on in North Carolina. Roy Cooper's running for governor. Seemingly, Michael Whatley, the head of the RNC, will be the Republican candidate. Veto overrides as well. We've got a lot going on. We'll look forward to chatting with everybody tonight. If you want to get access to that and be part of that, you can head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig. You can support the show $5, $10 a month. You get access to daily show notes. It includes all of the links and topics that we talk about, as well as the monthly hangout. Again, heading your way tonight, 7 p.m., patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, that's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Thanks for joining us this morning live, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and of course, 24/7, wherever you get your podcasts. We're back here tomorrow morning for the Nick Craig Show.